Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome, welcome. Once again, welcome you with Dr. Harris. Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. We are rocking and rolling here in Fresno, California. Wow, what a day. A lot of things are happening here. A lot of things are happening here in Fresno. Woo! My God. Fresno's like a soap opera. We never know what's going to happen from one day to the next. I'd like to give a shout out to all of the freedom fighters across the country. And we are going to a presidential election this year. In November, my goodness, I just can't believe the news I heard today. But anyway, we'll get into that real quick, real soon here. We waiting for some folks to call in. Hopefully they'll call in to our show tonight. Let me just go, let me see real quick. I'm working on like two or three computers right now at the same time. We're live streaming as well. I just want to check Facebook real quick to see if any news, any worthy news have popped up. Let's see. Should be coming up. But anyway, about 3 o'clock today, many of you knew, or maybe you don't know, that I my computer is still not working. I gotta figure this out. I was running for mayor of Fresno. And the campaign we ran was talking to some people today over at Fresno State was congratulating me for running for mayor of Fresno. And she was very happy, pleased. Even though I was in third place, she was very, very she told me, she said, you know, she said, I really appreciate, you know, you running a clean campaign. Wasn't no smearing, anything like that. And, I told her, we just keep it real. We keep it 100. There's no need of calling people names and all that type of stuff, even though people, black people in our community was saying, trying to discredit me. For what reason, I don't know. For 30 years of free service, I gave the community as a gatekeeper to make sure that no harm or danger come upon our people. But she was just telling me, she said, you know, she says, we're very proud of you. We're proud of all of the people who stood with you. You know, those who donated whatever they could, prayers, whatever. You know, you see, you really set an example for how campaigns should be ran. And, you know, you just spoke the truth. And many people don't want to hear the truth. Something that I found out in this campaign. And the other thing I found out is people don't like to read. That's the other piece I found out that goes on here in Fresno. So anyway, what happened was around 3 o'clock, the new numbers came out today for the mayor race. Let me pull that up too, so I can see the numbers that. But how's everybody doing while I'm doing this here? You know, I was sick with pneumonia pretty bad, and still trying to get my voice back and etc. Uh, Okay, so I'm looking at the election here. Where's the numbers at? I'm trying to find the numbers. Maybe this is it here. I just want to look at the numbers. Why am I not finding it? Finding information. Maybe this is it here. This is crazy. Any other night I could find it. So, anyway, I'll keep looking for it. But anyway, every day the numbers came out for the Fresno County mayor race and all the other stuff people were running for. And my numbers went up. So can someone call in? I want to see if the switchboard is working tonight at 516-387-1474, 516-387-1474. You can call in. Last night, the switchboard was not working at all. Really, really had me upset. So let me see if I can click someone in. Please work. Caller, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. Finally got somebody in tonight. Oh, my God. I'm about to die. Last night.
So, Jan's conceived, and now all of a sudden Facebook's working again, huh? And Blog Talk working again. Yeah.
So, I was on one last night. People said, Harry, you was on one last night. I said, wasn't I? But anybody else want to call in? 516-387-1474. Looks like the switchboard is working tonight. Oh, my God. I'm going to be by myself tonight. And I'm trying to pull up the election numbers. And for some reason, I don't know what's going on. If it's not one thing, it's 10. But So today, to jump into the show, today, you know, was the day that the Fresno County Election Office was going to release the new numbers of the ballot count that was left. Yes, I'm taking calls. You can call in. Can you kind of update us on what happened today? Because I was getting like all these phone calls at one time. I said, what's going on? What is that sickness that's going around?
Coronavirus, not the coronavirus.
Coronavirus that hit everybody in Fresno? What the heck is going on? But what happened? I mean, I looked at my phone at about 3 o'clock. I seen that our numbers went up. What happened between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock? Can you update us on what happened?
So the Fresno Bee reported that Jans conceded to Dyer and that he tweeted it. So they provided a tweet as proof that Jans, you know, congratulated Dyer, told him, you know, hey, you know, the same stuff he'd been doing the whole entire mayor's race, like, you know, giving him a thank you and, you know, bowing down like, you know, he's a groupie or a fan. Pretty much he conceded that way too. So at around 3:30.
So I'm going to be elementary here. What does conceded mean for those who may not know what that terminology means?
It basically says, you know what, you won. I quit. I had enough. I'm tapping out.
But I thought there was like thousands of more votes to be counted.
Yeah, approximately 8,000 more votes. Brandy Orth said that it is basically impossible, statistically impossible, for Dyer to go under the 51.8% that he currently stands at today's count this afternoon.
So, because like I said, I just received the, I mean, my phone was blowing up off the hook. I'm like, what the heck did happen? I'm thinking an airplane and hit City Hall or something. And so all these phone calls I was getting is because Andrew Jazz threw in the towel and said that he quit.
Yep.
Is that right?
That's right. That's correct. That is correct, according to Fresno B and Twitter post that Jan provided conceding to Dyer.
So he's going off the recommendation of what someone said that it looked like that.
Statistically, it can't happen. Yes.
It can't happen. Okay. But he didn't want to take it all the way to the end, is what I'm hearing you say.
Well, you know, he's politically correct, and he's following the plan. So, you know, he did
okay,
the
politically
correct
thing. Wait, hold on. You said something. You said politically and following the plan. What plan? Whose plan? What do you mean by plan? Plan what? Plan basketball, football, volleyball? What plan are you talking about?
So it's just my conspiracy theory that I've held from the beginning since Smith, Kemp, Dyer, and Jans all had a meeting last summer. You know, the context of that meeting wasn't disclosed openly. And I just saw a pattern of Dyer and Jans appearing together, Dyer and Jans getting along. You know, the fact that you brought out yesterday that Smith Kemp is Jans' boss, yet she didn't endorse him. She endorsed his opponent, which was Jerry Dyer. Jans, of course, we know, has some knowledge, perhaps more than all of us, about what Jerry Dyer has really cost the city and the extent of corruptness that has played his 20-year plus. We have a long history of corruptness with PD and Fresno, but in regards to Jerry Dyer's 20 years, I'm sure he had fact-based and was very knowledgeable about the level of corruptness and what it has actually cost the city of Fresno's taxpayers. Yeah, so he never brought anything out that would show that, you know, honestly, that he's strong enough or even genuine enough to want to spread equity, want to see equity across the city, which would actually make Fresno, you know, a healthy community, which is what the Harris campaign pushed for, having a healthy community that's equitable for everyone. And a couple of other candidates, to be honest, represent that more genuine than I believe Jans did. So because, to me, I've developed that theory. One, the meeting. Number two, we know he has knowledge of the extent of Jerry Dyer's leadership in Fresno PD and what they've cost the city of Fresno as far as finances and even probably psychological and mental trauma imposed by Fresno PD under his leadership. So lack of really calling out the different policies, the constitutional rights and human rights that Fresno PD has a history and have been sued behind, and that he never asked him those hard questions that will either give him a conscience or make him angry and show his true colors. You know, and Jerry Dyer, he knew it was bought for him, so he didn't bother, you know, he didn't bother coming to debates or speaking to the youth or, you know, and he said, you know, hey, I'm going to make it right with everybody. I'm going to, all my haters, I'm gonna buy you too. So we know this seat was bought for him, you know, developers and so forth and so on and private donors, and I'm sure maybe a few of his own ends financial end. So that he didn't come out on Dyer or ask him those tough questions that we want to know. And then lastly, just was really nice. The one thing I could say about him, he seems really, really nice. So we don't necessarily need a nice mayor. We need a compassionate mayor. Nice and compassion, two different things for people. So I developed a theory that Jen and Dyer and Smith Camp had it set up all along that Jen's would be like a smokescreen, and he'd, you know, get that they knew it was a huge group of people. I'm more than half of this city, I'm willing to say, that knows and does not want a former chief of police, no matter who he was, that was in the city for 20 years, suddenly move here and run for mayor, and they have all these endorsements with, you know, people that drain the poor to fatten their pockets. So I don't believe Jan's ever intended on winning. I believe he was a smokescreen and he was a prop set up to divide and pull the votes of the people that truly want to see Fresno be better, which is most of Fresno. And, you know, once again, the power and the powers that be will get the almighty dollar and found a way to try it. Well, they found a way to divide, you know, the grassroots community, the people, the real people, and not all people are real, but the people who are losing at the game of just a small percentage of people, and really just keeping the city in a bad state of health overall. But on another note, we know that, you know, about 48% of the people in Fresno said that they didn't want somebody like Dyer. That's a real, it came down really close. Dyer's number continued to diminish as the others continued to grow. And I believe that we need to organize now, not out in public right away. We need to organize underground, and we need to be stronger, a lot more people involved and really strategize and attack and make sure that Dyer is held accountable every single step of the way, be on his tail, be a thorn in his side, always stepping on the back of his heel. You know how it irritates you when somebody's stepping on the back of your shoe, your heel of your shoe? That we need to be the people stepping on the back of the heel of his shoe. We 48% of the voters do not want Dyer there. So we need to band together. We need to band together and fight it. And I'll tell you what'll make my conspiracy theory true about Jens is if he gets promoted. If Jens gets promoted within this next year, or as soon as Dyer takes that mayorship within a short amount of time, then that would be, to me, a determining factor of what would prove that conspiracy theory that Jens never planned to win, and he was a tool.
So, okay, you said quite a bit there. So I'm going to try to go back and kind of dissect a little bit of what you're saying. So we'd like to welcome everybody to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show here on the West Coast. We're on the West Coast here in Fresno, California, better known as Mississippi Fresno, as I renamed our city to Mississippi Fresno. We're here this evening talking about Andrew Jens have threw in the towel. He did not want to finish the race. He didn't want to finish it to the end. He started the race, but he did not want to finish the race. That says, you know, it reminds me of a basketball game that shows the character of a basketball team or a football team. You might be getting blown out. You know, the score might be 99-30, but you don't stop. You don't quit. You play till the clock says zero. That wasn't the case here with Andrew Jens. He threw in the towel before all the ballots were counted. Regardless of what anybody say or statistically, it's just you're just not going to win. You had a lot of people, Jan, who believed in you, supposedly, not us, but whoever your people were, the liberal community, whoever it was, black folk, whoever it was, white folks, whoever it was, what can you give me the numbers? Because I can't pull the numbers up on my screen here. Can you pull up the numbers and tell us the numbers of each candidate? I just find it very heartbreaking that when I start something, I'm going to finish it, no matter if I come in last. I'm going to let those who know who was with me, that I have character, I have integrity. We're going to take this through the end. But that didn't happen with Andrew Janssen. So it brings me to another question about Smith Camp, who is the district attorney, head district attorney of Fresno County, who has always is a very political, dangerous woman, that I would say. The politics in Fresno has gotten to the point where that we have people on city council, we have board of supervisors, and all these people are endorsing one another. They're all endorsing one another, right? So Geyer endorsed Smith Camp when she ran for DA, I believe. And then Smith Camp turns around and endorsed Dyer to run for mayor. She was so visible that she was at his press conference there. I believe it was at Manchester. And I believe she spoke, but she was visible there. But what I find ironic is that here it is, little poor Andrew Jan here that works for her in her office. She signs his paycheck every 2 weeks or once a month or however they get paid. And but she don't endorse him, but she endorsed Dyer. So I don't understand how you can have someone work for you that you entrust them to be a DA, but you can't entrust them to be the mayor, but you support his opponent. See, what we have here is we have the fox guarding the hen house is what we have here. What we have here is we have organized crime that's going on here in Fresno. It's just sad that we don't have the people who will call it out like it is. It's sad that we don't have the people and the leadership that will say, hey, these people are in cahoots with one another. See, this is the reason why that the Fresno Bee, the California Advocate, and all these other little organizations did not want me on the same stage with Dyer and Andrew Janssen, because they knew that if I was on the stage, that I was speaking for the people. I was speaking for the people, the mothers, who family members are being gunned down by Fresno PD. They knew that, so they intentionally did not invite our campaign to the table so that we could have a real debate about what's going on here in Fresno with the voters here. Now, check this out. Check this out real quick. I'm going to let you talk some more. How is it? I believe Dyer has, I don't know, 51. Find the numbers. Somebody find the numbers for me. I need somebody to tell me what the numbers are. Or type it up on the screen.
Yeah, I'm trying to find them.
Somebody help me out here tonight. It's just late. I got to get up at 4 o'clock again. I'm tired. We was going to do this show on Thursday, but this new information came up, so we have to talk about it tonight. But what I find interesting about Fresno is that you have a chief of police who's a white man, been on the force for over 20-something years, God knows when. And he goes around bragging, talking about, I'm going to clean up the community. I'm going after the gangbanger. He was so direct that he stood with Jerry, I think it was Duncan, and called blacks terrorists and laughed about it. He called blacks terrorists, not Dyer, but he stood next to the man, Duncan, who called us terrorists in this city. And I was the only black man that called him out. on national radio. And I confronted Duncan and I confronted Dyer. How dare you call black people a terrorist? The only known black terrorist in America is the Ku Klux Klan. That's the terrorist. And then you have a chief of police who turns around bragging about his department, talking about, oh, you know, I'm gonna get all the black gangs and I'm gonna take down the Bulldogs. We're gonna clean up the community. We're gonna get the drugs out. But then the FBI goes in and busts his right hand man and say, your right hand man is selling drugs in the community that you said that you're cleaning up. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand. So let's say that Dyer didn't know that his right hand man, second in charge, that he didn't know that, he, according to the FBI, that he was selling drugs. Just for the sake of argument, let's just say that Dyer didn't know. As a taxpayer, I would say, well, why don't you know? You said you know who's selling drugs in West Fresno. You say you know who's, you know, you say you know who got the crack house in my community. So how is it that you, the chief of police, with this big old budget, over 1,200 officers, and you don't know that you got corruption right in your house? But here's make matters worse. Nobody in Fresno questioned it. Nobody in Fresno said, wait a minute, Dyer. Okay, we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Maybe you didn't know. But since you didn't know and you should have known, how about you step down as chief of police? We didn't have a black, brown, yellow, nobody asked that man to step down. We didn't even have a preacher. Now, there was one white man who came to me and said, you know, Reverend Harris, I need to talk to you about something. I said, yeah. He said, you know, I went to the black pastors. I said, okay. And I asked them that we need to put on our collars, put on our Sunday robes, and we need to go down to City Hall. And we need to tell the city council, the city manager, and the mayor to fire Dyer. This is a white man telling me this. He said, but the black pastors told me they couldn't do it. I said, what? He said they couldn't do it. So we're living in a city right now that wants to come out. See, this city is two-faced because we got organized crime in the police department, but then in our community, you want to hold the people in the community accountable, but the community not supposed to hold the government accountable. So now you got a man who now is going to become mayor of Fresno with his own deputy chiefs up under him. Filed lawsuits for discrimination. His own deputy chiefs, and they settled out of court. He had a cell phone that had racist tones to it. When it would ring, it would say racist tones. And this is your new mayor that's coming in office now. But see, nobody has the spine to hold them accountable. But me and my people. And you better be darn sure when he get in office, our face is going to be the first face he see. Because he done killed too many of our children. He done planted too many guns on our children. I got cases right now where guns was planted on black boys in West Fresno. But see, they come out with bounce houses and hot dogs and have our kids shaking their booty and all this type of stuff, pat them on the head at the age of 5, and then shoot them in the back when they're 15. That's the kind of city you living in. Because nobody wants to hold nobody accountable in this city. You just want to buck dance with everybody. How do you allow someone to call you a terrorist and you don't even confront them? This man has cost us as taxpayers thousands of millions of dollars in settlements and lawsuits and all this type of crap. And he still walks in as mayor because Jan and Dyer was working together. And we've been telling y'all that since day one. But nobody wants to listen to us. Harris just anti-police. Harris is just Harris that, Harris is Harris that. Nobody in City Hall, nobody on the Board of Supervisors, not even the sheriff, nobody has held this government accountable. Because, see, you spend too much time going to banquets, eating chicken and watermelon, getting high blood pressure, but you don't want to hold nobody accountable. I mean, I don't understand. And then he has the nerves to say one Fresno. How in the hell is going to be one Fresno when we got the Darling plant over here cooking dead animals every day? How is it one Fresno? You think North Fresno going to embrace a packing house over here that's cooking dead animals every day, stinking up our community, killing our elders, killing our children? You done had Jim Patterson, you done had Alan Autry, you done had Swearington, now Lee Brand, and the place is still operating illegally over there, but you're going to say it's one Fresno. When are you people going to get some backbone in this city? I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand how you think. It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And then now I'm hearing, oh, well, you know, when I become mayor, I'm going to go to everybody that was against me. I'm going to shake their hand. I'm gonna make amends with them. I'm going to be their friend. I'm not here to be your friend. We're here to hold you accountable. Everybody. You think you can just walk over black people and brown people and shoot us down, kill us, poison us in the air, and it's okay? He has the audacity to go to the Dr. Martin Luther King march, holding Dr. King's sign. And you're okay with that. I don't get it. Let me go back over here. Okay, can you tell me the number, somebody? This is just, people are too comfortable in Fresno. That's what the problem is. You got to load an $80,000 job. You know, you work for a government agency, but you're not going to rock the boat. You rather see our people and our children out here suffering than to get involved and to deal with policy. This man has had the worst policy as any chief of police ever in the history of Fresno. I mean, this dire guy reminds me of Bull Corner in Alabama. I mean, he had guns, dope, and money stolen out of the police evidence department. Who has a key to the evidence department? Anybody got a key on a live stream of Blog Talk Radio? Maybe you got a key. I don't have a key. But who has a key that took guns, dope, and money out of the evidence department? Anybody? That stuff went back into my community. Y'all got to grow some back. You know, I wish I could make me a pill. or something that will give people some backbone and some testicles to stand up in Fresno for our people. We just compromise with everything. Everything. And then the California Advocate goes over and endorses Dyer. Really? I mean, it's like we can just sell ourselves so cheap. Okay, give me the numbers. I need some numbers here. What's the numbers?
They are not like somebody need to get the Fresno B because they are it's not being posted like it was 3 hours ago, 4 hours ago.
I can't even find the numbers on the election thing. I was looking at it at 3 o'clock, and I'm like, am I? Maybe I'm tired. I don't see none of the numbers. See, that's what I'm saying. There's something going on here that doesn't make sense to me. How come we don't see the numbers?
Yeah,
where did they go?
5 o'clock, it was all over the
okay, all right. Moving forward, I'd like to present the new mayor of Fresno to everybody except for the people who stood with me. Because we're not going to accept it. So, my friend, let's talk about the black candidates for a minute. There were three black candidates who were running. I believe it was Jefferson, Nicholas, and myself. We're gonna do this show again on Thursday. This is kind of like an emergency show here. We're going to do the show Thursday because we're going to be in the studio, and I'm going to have people there giving their perspective of what happened. But just moving forward, just give me a little taste of what happened during the campaign. Sister, can you tell us a little bit of your experience in the campaign?
Well, the first thing that was apparent was all candidates were not invited out to debates, even when their names had officially been added to the ballot, fees paid, forms filled out. Morning. I know our campaign for Harris, we did not get invited to more than half the debate. When it was time to, the debates we did get invited to, which is they were all usually late notices, with the exception of Fresno for All. And even with that debate, accommodations were made for Jan. Now his wife brought a child into the world, and our candidate could have died from pneumonia, and so no accommodations were made for him even to provide the questions, because of course you know the other candidate's health wasn't the issue, and they did have a head start. But even with that, he performed. And then there was the media. The media had the information. They had in-depth information. And they would not produce that. What they would do is take what I would like to refer to as sound bites from the information, and would use that to either try to minimize the vision, the message, the plan, or the viability, which means the realness that this could happen, the viability of the Harris campaigns and our candidate's vision for Fresno. If it wasn't, if they didn't try to discredit or mock those visions or plans, they would minimize or try to suppress it, not even include it at all. It's a new kind of sneaky suppression now, often using media and social media that also that makes you feel like you're isolated. They do really try to isolate you. So just the suppression, not being invited out, suppressed from taking the platform, marginalized, our candidate and others. And that was just the start. You know, not we entered the race late. Funding, you know, they know that funding is a big thing, so even that was a battle. Part of it was because of the late announcement. Even down to what I refer to as intellectual property being stolen. If you go back and really want to take the time to research, you'll see the platform that Jerry Dyer and Jen started off with, which was nowhere near what they ended with, which, I mean, everybody's platform may change depending on who's advising them, what issues they become aware of. But it's a certain heart of your platform that should never change because that's the integrity of the platform, the heart of the platform. So theirs changed tremendously from going from a more kind of conservative or more right-sided Democrat or progressive to being like these humanitarians. You know, all of a sudden, you know, Jerry Dyer runs a homeless task force under his, you know, watch for over a decade, you know, beating up people, having people scared to come forward, breaking constitutional laws, but yet all of a sudden he has this plan, this brilliant plan for homelessness. Well, we have a plan for homelessness. What we need out the way is the powers that be that don't see a profit for them in the homelessness or alleviating the level of homelessness. So we saw their platforms go from this conservative to, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we're going to really make it right for all people. James, he was still running the same platform from Nunes, from going up against Nunes. You know, he had to consult one of our homeless experts in Fresno, Mike Rhodes, just to be able to formulate any kind of compassion or even thoughtfulness about the homeless population. When humanity should be, you know, a core of a leader's, a city leader's a job, you know, is respecting humanity. So, yeah, just a lot of shifts, a lot of intellectual information taken from the campaign, the platform changing based on things that Floyd Harris, you have always stood for before this campaign and well after Jen, you know, takes his promotion and is forgotten and well into, you know, the hell that Dyer will go through for the next several years, hopefully only the next 4 years, if Fresno wakes up and we do what we need to do to get boots on the ground and strategize and use our strength. So everything from media sabotage to suppressing the voice, platform, reach, financial, to stealing intellectual property. And I'm willing to gather all the evidence to back that.
Yeah, you know, it's very, very interesting. And like I said, we're gonna have a show on Thursday to go more in depth. We're just giving you a little appetizer right now because you all wouldn't believe what our campaign went through. And we gave a first-class campaign, even jumping in the race that late. But we came in third. Can you kind of talk about this conversation? And by the way, the lady that's talking right now, I apologize, I didn't introduce her. I don't know if she introduced herself. But the lady that's speaking right now, the ma'am that is speaking right now, is my campaign manager, Maria Elts. She did a wonderful, wonderful job. Just want to give her all her props right now. We had a wonderful, wonderful team that came together. We had a few glitches, but, you know, we pulled it together. And that's what it's all about. You know, we have a lot of resources here in the community. We have a lot of people with a lot of talent. And we just let people be who they are. You know, I wasn't trying to micromanage people. I was like, hey, if you believe in me, believe in what I do, believe what I've done in the past, hey, come on board. People got on the ship and we went to work. And so I just want to give props to her for even considering taking on such a task because she stayed up many, many late nights looking at Facebook posts. She going back and forth with people that was trying to discredit me and different things like that. And sometimes I had to pull her off of people because she is like a pet bull. She grabbed, she wouldn't let go. And she just shaking up like this. But, you know, it was good energy. We learned a lot from it. We do know one thing about running for office. You have to have some money. Not saying money to buy people, because I'm not into that. But campaign signs, radio ads, you know, it's needed. but nevertheless, I just want to thank her publicly. And again, like I said, Thursday night, we're going to be running this show again. Because I want everybody to know what happened in this campaign and how the black people were treated. We were treated very disrespectful. The California Advocate did not even let the community know, which is a black newspaper, the only black newspaper from Bakersfield to Stockton. I think Sacramento have a black newspaper, but the only one in this valley did not put three black men in the newspaper to let the black community know that we were running. That right there was just unacceptable. But honest, because it's about money. And Dyer paid his way to get on the California Advocate. So that's kind of a later discussion, was just a disclaimer I'm putting out there. The Fresno Bee, just to let you know about them, is that I had to take my son back to Southern University for college, and they were having a little, what do you call it, who they're going to endorse, right? And the Fresno Bee ain't going to never endorse a black man, for as I know, at least, let me say me, I know they're not going to endorse me. But the Fresno Bee said, well, since Harris is not going to be here, why don't you bring us his information? And naive as I was, I agreed to it. And so when you hear Maria talk about how Jan and Dyer campaigned swift and changed, this is because the information that we gave the Fresno Bee. And then next thing we know, they're endorsed in Jan. And then all of a sudden, our information is in their platform. So that's what she's talking about. I did also had a Fresno Bee called a columnist or someone. He said, Mr. Harris, I believe you're back. I'd like to meet with you in regards to your campaign. It is so detailed. Oh, it's more detailed than any of the other individuals running for mayor. And I said, and so I called back and I never could reach him. And next thing we know, 2 days later, they endorsed Jen. And so when Maria talks about the form, I forget the name it was called, I was still with pneumonia. And so I went anyway. I felt that the form, you remember the name, Maria, the form?
Fresno for all.
I felt in my gut that it was a setup all along. And then when we got there, you know, the whole building was really probably 98-99% Andrew Jan fans. And again, you know, it was just, you know how you get a feeling something ain't right? I just felt that feeling that it wasn't right. But what was interesting about the forum is that they told us, they said, well, we have 20 questions that we want. We're going to send you 20 questions. And then when we get there, they said, well, we picked 6 out of the 20. And I'm like, okay, so what are the 6 questions? Well, we're not going to tell you what the 6 questions are. Well, why not? Well, we're just not going to let you know. I'm like, okay, whatever. So the forum goes on, and then you could just really see Jan just answering all the questions, just boom, 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 boom. Which, you know, we felt that he was already rehearsing it already, or what have you. and then we get to number 5 question. We get to number 5. So there was only 6 questions, but we get to number 5. To number 6 question, I just knew that number 6 question was going to be about homelessness. And can you believe that the number 6 question was not about homelessness? It was about something else. And I'm like, wait a minute. I could ask 10 people in Fresno, what do you think is the worst issue that's going on in Fresno? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? After that forum, I asked 10 people. And they said, we got a homeless problem. A homeless problem. A homeless problem. A homeless problem. And I said to myself, well, how come they didn't have a question at the forum about the homeless? Let me tell you why they didn't have a question. Because Andrew Jans don't know nothing about homelessness. That's the reason why. So the whole forum was a scam. Just like everything else in this community is a scam. The Advocate was a scam. The Fresno Bee was a scam. Make matters worse, I get another phone call from the Fresno Bee. Mr. Harris, I'm trying to put this article together right now, and I need to know, what is the one reason why you're running for mayor of Fresno? I'm going into a meeting. And I said, sir, I can't talk right now. But let me ask you a question. He said, yeah. I said, didn't the editorial board give you my information that I presented to them? And he says, no. They haven't given me anything about you. That's why I'm calling you. I said, so you have not, I said, we gave information to the editorial board, but they have not passed down to you about my campaign. No. I said, okay. He said, but, you know, I seen you at the forum, and I went down to the election office, and, you know, I pulled up some, you know, different things, and, you know, and I said, well, I can't talk now. So I called my campaign manager, and I said, you know, can you print me out some stuff so I could take it down to this gentleman for the second time for the Fresno Bee so they can have information about our campaign? That was about 10 o'clock. I get down there about 1:30. I'm calling, no answer. The reception call, no answer. I'm texting, no text back. I said, well, ma'am, I'm just going to leave this with you, and, you know, I'm sure that you get it to him. She said, yes, sir, Mr. Harris. That was on a Friday. That following Sunday, they wrote like a 3-page article about Dyer and Jan. And then they had a little section like this with me and the other candidates. A little bitty section like this. A little, whatever size card this is. A little bitty section like that. Now, I dropped off our information, you know. I dropped off our packet of information, and when I read what he wrote, all he wrote and said, oh, well, Harris says that the police department should not go into the community like RoboCop. Now, that's a soundbite. That's not our campaign. He wrote a soundbite. And if anybody go to our website, We have Twitter. We have Instagram. We have all this stuff. And he wrote a soundbite in such an important race. And just said, well, Harris said that the police should not go into the community looking like RoboCop. Yes, I said that. Yes, I said that. But that wasn't our campaign. So the Fresno Bee intentionally was biased on the mayor race. The California Advocate was biased on the mayor's race. And so none of our stuff got printed properly. So that's why we were pushing it so hard on Facebook. At least somebody could see what the heck we put together, because none of the media people was interested except for Dyer and Jan. See, black people, my ancestors died for me to have the right to run for mayor of this city. Now, I don't give a damn who like it or who don't. Our ancestors paid the price coming on them damn ships from Europe and Africa and all of that. They paid the price for me to run for mayor. They paid the price for all three black men to run for mayor for this city. And black people didn't even know there was three black men running for mayor of this city. But don't forget, we have the crawdad mentality in the black community in Fresno. We can get a Grammy Award tearing each other down. Then that piece came. So, you know, we're going to talk about this on Thursday, because it's important that everybody know what happened. You know, this right here, I don't know if y'all can see that. It says, pastors protest Fresno police brutality. So all y'all that sit out there and say that I don't do anything, you need to go do your research. Go read, R-E-A-D, read, and find out what your brother has done for 30 years in this community for free. Nobody has paid me a dime to put my life on the line for all of y'all. And here it is, the one time that black people, you know, people said, well, Harris, you know, we just don't have the numbers, you know. I mean, we don't even have the numbers to put a dog catcher to get a job, let alone talking about black people coming together to put a mayor in office. Well, you know what? It's all about your heart, man. Follow your heart. I keep asking everybody, where did Andrew Jans come from? What has he done? Where was Andrew Jan when Dyer, who is now going to be mayor of Fresno, when Dyer was there going to arrest us from the orders of the mayor and city manager office to arrest the advocates for standing up for the homeless so they would not tear down their encampment because they had nowhere to go? Then all of a sudden now, Dyer is all of a sudden, he loves homeless people. I mean, I don't get it. And then you have your brother who's been there since day one. Oh, but I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified. Okay. I'm not qualified. Let's see when you get in trouble. Let's see how qualified I am then. So we got some problems, man. We got some big problems in the black community here. So, you know, it is what it is now. You know, I present to you your new mayor. I present to you your Andrew Jans. Didn't see it out to the end. But you know what? I want to thank all those people. Where's the numbers for the election today? Did anybody find them yet?
No.
So you mean the election office just took down all the numbers for the election?
Let's do one more go through.
Okay. So anyway, I believe that we were up, I believe the other day we were at 1,900 and something people who believed in me. Oh, also, I want to give credit to the endorsements. The West Franklin Democratic Club, Kimberly, who ran for Congress, and who's the other one?
Democratic Socialists of America.
Democratic
big one.
Yeah, I want to thank them, and also the Hmong Democratic Club as well. I want to thank all of them for their support in, you know, believing in us, you know, standing with us, you know, going, taking us to their community to speak with their folks. So, you know, it was just an honor, you know, it was an honor to run this race. Sadly, it's over for as the election. It's not over for us because we're getting ready to kick it in high gear now. As you said, we're going to be, as the young folks, on his jock strap, on his heels. I think Dyer told me one time, he said, you know, Reverend Harris, man, he said, you know that chant that you said, you always say all the time? I said, well, I say a lot of it. What do you mean? He says, the one you say, no justice, no peace. I said, yeah, what about it? He said, man, I be hearing you in my sleep saying that. I say, you be hearing me? He said, yeah, I be dreaming about you saying that. But, you know, our Freedom School kids, you know, walk precincts, you know, doing live stream. I mean, it was just a blessing to see people. Even Aline got a new phone out of the whole thing. She got an iPhone now or something, you know. She had one of the old flip phones. And so, I mean, Brother David, he stepped up with the iPhone. I mean, it was just Emily. It was just so many people, you know, even my friends.
You know, and our financial contributors, Alexandro Cecidos, Jennifer, Dr. Saxon, Richard Gomez, Charles Ashley.
It's just, you know, and I need to get all of the people, you know, what I'm going to do, we're going to have a big gathering one day. I'm just going to cook for everybody and just really thank everybody for their support and, you know, believe.
You can't get forget Fredo. Fredo Martin.
Fredo. Just, you know, the people who started and quit or whatever the case was, we even thank you, you know, because it was a team effort to get those. That's why I was asking for the numbers. I think it was 2,100 and something votes, right? I think it was 2,170 votes, I think. And I just, you know, that's a lot of people to go into City Hall with, you know what I mean? So, you know, it ain't over yet. It's not over yet, y'all. Okay, we have a caller here. I'm sorry, caller. I'm going to click you in. Give us your perspective. We want to welcome you to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. We are here. The election is over with. Andrew Jans have threw in the towel. He did not want to see it to the end, which is sad for everybody. When you start something, you should see it to the end. No matter how bad you're losing, you know, stand with some character. Stand with some integrity. Let the people know that the Bible says the race is not to the swift, but the race is to those who endure to the end. in the Harris campaign, we're people who endure, and we're going to see it to the end, just like we did. And I just want to thank everybody. So we're going to put this caller in real quick. Sorry to have you hold there for so long. Let's see, what is the phone number? I've never seen a phone number like that before.
Okay. Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Hey, yeah. My name's Javier. When Jens's people came over to our neighborhood over on the east side of town, his people, he was at our neighbor's house, his guys, and they were speaking Spanish on the front porch, and they didn't know that the neighbor of mine also spoke Spanish and heard them. And according to the lady next door, she's a neighbor of ours, she said that they were saying in Spanish to each other that it doesn't matter if Jens loses because he's still going to have a job, as a district attorney or in the whole in the system. They were saying that to each other in Spanish on my neighbor's porch, even though they were knocking on the doors claiming that they wanted Jens to, to beat Dyer.
Right.
So I don't know. To me, it sounded like the Jens guy, he's not really trying to win. He was just there to, to sort of give the illusion that there was a race. Because I hear that a lot of times within the establishment, the Republicans and the Democrats, they don't really hate each other, not at the establishment level. You know, they sort of like do a charade, Holmes. You know, they like, you know, they want people to think that there's a democracy when there's not. You know, our family voted for
you. That's what we said all along.
Yeah, so what they do in the black community, they do it in the Hispanic community too. And, one of the things that I know that they do is way up in North Fresno, the white people and the Jewish people, they have the control over the money in the town. And the money is what talks in this town. And, if Armenians or Jewish guys don't want something to be done, it don't get done. And if they do want it done, it does get done. And they don't care about the west side or the east side, you know, unless they're investing their money in it themselves.
Well, you know what, sir, what really triggered us, and my campaign manager really was on top of her game and really watching numbers, conversations with people on Facebook, trying to explain our campaign to people. But like I said, one thing we found out, people don't read. And if you don't read, you're not going to understand what in depth of what someone is saying. So that's one thing we learned. The other piece is that all the debates that Jan had with Dyer that I was intentionally left out of, and that's what we want the community to understand, that I was intentionally left out of those debates with when they were on the stage, is that Andrew Jans never questioned, not one time that I seen, or attacked the policy of Jerry Dyer. Now, I'm not going to get into this about this girl and who he messed with when he was a young cop. I'm talking about policy right now. I'm talking about
real
policy.
Real policies. Real policies. You're right. They didn't go after any of that stuff. And then guys like you that talk about the issues, they ignore it. And it's almost like they both do it to ignore. They don't want to have the truth come out. So that's why they don't put you in the debate. They don't want to risk having you, you expose the truth, Holmes.
And even with the Fresno Bee, they would not even print our platform. Not one. I mean, I said, dude, you going to put a soundbite in the newspaper? I mean, people is reading this newspaper all over the world. And, it's only two leading candidates, Dyer and Andrew Jan, as if We're a bunch of nobodies.
It's the same thing they do at the president level with Bernie Sanders, eh? Anytime that Bernie would win the Democrat primary, they would always say things like on CNN and MSNBC, they'd say, well, you know, is this Bernie's last time that he'll ever win again? And then if Biden won, which is their guy, obviously, they're always like, oh, great. See, Biden is coming back. And they were just lifting him and lifting him. They don't want the real progressives in there. And they don't want the guys that are actually going to reform things, you know?
Exactly, exactly. So that's why, so Maria, talk to us about this conversation, because it came up a lot on Facebook about me or us splitting the vote. What was that conversation about from your perspective, that Harris getting in the race, Harris don't know what he's doing, Harris is uneducated, Harris. But yet everybody's stealing our information to put on their campaign, to put in the president. What was this splitting the vote conversation about?
Basically saying that people that would have possibly voted for Jans will not do so because now they're voting for you. So maybe Jans could have gotten 51%. You know, or 47 and Dyer 48 or something like that, and others that they maybe write-ins or whatever get, 3%. You know, they didn't want anybody getting out of that little 1-3% range, and they knew that you had the influence, like the brother is saying here, our brother on the line. They knew that if the truth got out there and you were truly given an equitable, equal platform, that would sway the people, because the majority of the people here in Fresno do not have this nice life. Mexican, black, poor whites, other immigrants, who have been taken. We have to labor a lot. We have to labor for our money. We don't have time to get civically engaged like we would if we had more time on our hands, or, So the split in the vote was like, okay, well, he's going to take away a possible percentage of votes that could put Jans over the edge, because they knew you had a following, Even if it was a few thousand, it could have been tens of thousands, had things going a little differently, and we didn't experience the suppression, new form of suppression. So they basically try to say you were stealing votes from Jans that Jans could potentially have. But
you're right, though, ma'am. They kept on saying all kinds of things about him. They said that they said that he was incompetent. They actually told one of our neighbors that, if you elect this guy, that president's going to become like Detroit, which we know what they're trying to say. They're trying to say a black mayor and it mess it up or whatever. They tried to say that to one of our neighbors, that don't vote for him. It'll be like Detroit. And you know how Detroit is. And, so this was Jens's people. The guy, one of the Jens guys, was saying that, trying to compare, you elect, if you vote for Mr. Harris, that, it'll be Detroit, And then another one had said something like, oh, he's a buffoon. He's like a Amos and Andy kind of guy or whatever. I didn't even know what that was. And then they told us that. And then I had to look it up online, and I found out that's like an old TV show. It's a stupid. It had no relevance to me. But that's the kind of stuff they were saying to us.
Wow.
Are Jans's people that they claim to be not racist, and apparently they are.
Well, that's similar to how, they did Africans when they were enslaved here in America, you know, in order to make people not have a human kind of compassion or even look for the truth, what they did was use a lot of propaganda, a lot of lies, you know. Okay, well, look, they uncivilized, you know, they like a wild, you know, we have to tame them, you know, they less than human, so... You know, you don't have to pay them. They're property, you know, and have done to so many other immigrant populations, but to the greatest extent to, you know, Africans that were enslaved in America. So that's a common tactic to create propaganda to change people's mentality to think negative.
Democrats claim to not be racist, and, you know, that's these were Democrats from Janzi's people. We didn't even see the Dyer people. The only time the Dyer people come around is if they got somebody that, like a front man, you know, who speaks Spanish, and they'll have them come out and make tacos for us all kind of thing.
Wow.
You know, that's their outreach. But those Jans people that were knocking on the doors, some of the stuff that they were saying about Mr. Harris were just very racist. And they just, you know, and they take advantage of Hispanic people not knowing all the history of America, you know. So when they talk about the black people, they say negative stuff about black people, and you know, obviously a lot of us, we've only been here for one or two generations, so we don't really know the full story, you know, and we're not taught it in the schools, and so they take advantage of that, and they try to scare Hispanics into not voting for a black person, you know?
Yes. The new age suppression, yes. And it's bad that it's coming from Democrats, like you said, who's supposed to hold these principles. But, you know, we got it from everybody. It was Democrats, Republicans, black folks, you know. They didn't discriminate who tried to suppress us. But it's just really sad that, you know, if Jans is still in, you know, team was still in platform points and had to get ideas from us, that they would be just so, you know, vile as to go around.
Yes, that's, you're right, though, because a lot of times the best ideas come from the people who, the guys and the women who know the people best. And usually it's the guys like Mr. Harris, they know the people better than the politicians do. And so what the politicians do is they steal the ideas from the good people like Mr. Harris.
Yes. Correct. Mm-hmm. Well,
so,
thank
you
for speaking the truth.
It's really sad that they do that.
What part of town you live?
I'm on the east side of town. I'm near Tulare and Cedar.
Oh, Tulare, Cedar. Okay. Yeah, one of the things we noticed in the southeast area that there were not many signs put up, because, you know, they started tearing our signs down, you know, all over the city, which, you know, I was pretty much financing my own campaign. Those that believed in what we were doing donated, but they started tearing down our signs all over the city. And so people were complaining. They said, well, Harris, man, we don't see one of your signs up. And I'm like, well, they tore them down. we were just manhandled. And the whole mayor race was rigged. But, you know, I was at Fresno State today, and I went across one of my supporters. And she said, you know, Reverend Harris, since I really got to commend you and your staff, you know, you guys ran a first-class campaign. You know, we know the type of money that they had, you know, in their bank account, and we know that, you know, you know, whatever you had, but we know your heart. And she said, and that's she said, for me, that what really stood out in the campaign is your heart, and we know that if anything happened to any of us in this community, we know that you're going to be there. We don't even have to call you, Reverend Harris. You'll be out there. And she said, and that's the type of leader that, you know, we need in the community, that's, you know, always putting the people first in the community.
You know, have you ever thought about running for the city council for West Fresno so that you can, if you can get on the council, you'll be able to, you know, I mean, I know it's not mayor, but if you get on the council, then you I don't think there's any black people on the council anymore, which is it's sad that they don't have any black people on the council.
Yeah, that, you know, folks been talking to me about that. You know, folks tell me, you know, hey, you know, keep your head up, don't give up. City council's coming around. You know, stay in there. You know, I'm not. You know, I'll pray about it. You know, see what. You know, I always love what the community wants. You know, I mean, there were really some people in the community that really wanted me to run for mayor. I mean, the folks wanted me to announce back in June, right? And I have to be convicted with the Lord to really feel it. And I didn't feel it until the last hour. And when I felt it, I said, let's go for it. And so, you know, so it's not something that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, Harris, you know, he just want to be on TV. He just da 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 da. No, it's not about that. You know, God has given me skill sets that to use to help the community, you know. And so I just don't jump on, you know, now I don't even jump on any issues, but, you know, like the black face that went on that bullet, you know.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Harris, there's a lot of things that a good guy like you can still do besides politics. I used to live in Wilmington, Delaware, okay? And there's a guy named Dr. Umar Johnson. Dr. Umar Johnson, who's there. He started up a black boy school, or he's going to. And it's called Marcus Garvey Frederick Douglass Academy. And it's going to be a school for black boys to teach them African culture and things like that. And, you know, he's very well known, and you know, there's things like that guys like you can do. You know, you can maybe help out to help the community with the school. You can, you know, there's a lot of areas you could do besides politics too. You know,
right, Maria.
Yes.
I don't know where all the noise is coming from, but can you give them just a little brief history of the Freedom School that we're working with here? I do know Dr. Umar Johnson, and I am working on trying to bring him to Fresno.
About the Freedom School?
Yeah.
So we have the Fresno Freedom School founded by Kennedy Harris, and we teach young kids in the community and the families how to farm, like everything from preparing the land to land irrigation, taking care of the plants, marketing, harvesting, selling the produce, making products out of the produce, entering into the fair, practicing public speaking skills, media, landscaping, just overall. But we have a real small ratio of adults to children, about one adult to every five children. And we expose them. We partner with Fresno State. We partner with green industries, professors from the different universities, and just expose the kids to just culture, how to take care of themselves, how to sustain, how to use their creativity, build a positive self-image. And Dr. Harris founded that school, so he's been out in the community and we're doing things that will change things. Currently, we're working with Boys and Girls Club, West Fresno Boys and Girls Club, and having the Watch Us Grow project going. And we have some things that will be coming this fall in October that will make history once again. This mayoral candidate race made history. And we're going to continue to make history in Southwest Fresno. And with everything from investment to our youth to fighting against the things that we know that we have to continue to fight against until they change. So we definitely always have our boots on the ground, our hearts in the right place. Freedom School is an example of that. It's going to continue to grow. just like this movement is going to continue to grow, because now we consciously know, whether it's Jan supporters or Harris supporters or any other candidates aside from Dyers, that we have about half of this city that was willing to put down a vote that said that they didn't want Dyers. Jams might have been a tool and a prop, but those voters, they're people. And whether they call Reverend Harris a buffoon or whatever the case may be, it was one thing that over 48% of the people in Fresno had in common, and that they didn't want Dyer here. And Dyer kept losing, you know, and if we had had more voting days, better voting process, more voters engaged, the truth getting out there, it's no way he would have won. So it was strategic from the start. They had a lot of money,
right.
A lot of power backing them. And we had people power that we depended on.
But God bless you guys, and you keep doing what you have to do. They were slandering the good doctor's name that out there around where we live, and you know, that probably, if they were doing it there, then they were doing it elsewhere too. And they were obviously scared of Mr. Harris. You don't slander someone's name unless you're scared of what they can do.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's funny that Andrew Jan had contacted us, right, wanted us to join his team. And I said, look, we're taking this to the end. You know, I mean, there was a lot of people was asking me to sell out. I mean, I couldn't, and it was a lot of black people. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm not for sale. I don't have a clearance tag on me. You know, I mean, we just had the national black farmer president here in Fresno last week. He was here in Fresno, the national black president, the president of the Black Farmers of the United States of America. What did he do, Maria? Because I wasn't there. He gave you what?
He gave me a message. And he told me to tell, he said, tell Reverend Harris, don't ever, ever, ever give up. What he's doing is good. It's needed. And not to give up.
Yeah, you know how it works.
Under Obama.
They always try to get people that look like us to get us to sell out. You know, they always do it that way. If you know, if the Jewish Rothschilds bankers or the white people that have our corporations, if they want us to sell out, they will always get a Latino guy to approach a guy like me and tell me that it's in our best interest to do so. If it's a black man like you, they'll always get another black person to approach you to try to get you to do it. If you know what I mean? They're not stupid. The devil is not stupid. They know what they're doing.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I thank you, sir, for calling in and updating us. We kind of figured that was going on, but you just gave us confirmation that it was going on. And, you know, the national president of the Black Farmers of the United States of America, you know, gave us an award from the U.S. What is the U.S. representative of Congress?
Mm-hmm, yes, Congress. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so people are recognizing our work here in Fresno. But I give all the credit to the community. You know, I don't deserve any credit. I'm just a servant. And I keep telling people that. I just want to be a good servant. I don't care about the credit. I don't care who gets it. I just want a healthy community. I just want to see equality across Fresno, which is not happening. I want to see people work together in harmony and stand on truth, justice, and liberation for all people. That's all I want. That's all I want. But thank you, sir, again. I hope to meet you one day. Please keep listening to the show. Share it with friends and family and et cetera. Just thank you again, sir.
All right. Well, thank you, you guys, and God bless you and have a great night, okay?
All right. Thank you. That was a wonderful caller. You know, I don't really get much. What's the word? I don't really get a lot of compliments. I don't get, you know, pats on the back and all that type of stuff, especially from our black people, but. You know, it's part of the territory, you know. I don't do it for recognition or anything like that. But listen, tune in on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. We're going to be doing this again, okay? I love you guys. Thank you, Maria, for calling in, and we'll see you guys on Thursday night. Hotel.
Okay.